My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse.
Our guest is Carl Dix, national spokesperson for the Revolutionary Communist Party. Mr. Dix, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to some people about some of what's going on in the resistance movement that's developing.
Well, we certainly appreciate that you were able to take the time out to be with us this evening. Certainly, there are a number of activities happening throughout the country. Perhaps this evening we could start out with talking about the October 22nd International Day of Protest Against Police Brutality.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to start getting into. And, I mean, basically the situation that led to the development of this nationwide protest, nationwide and international, as you pointed out, protest movement, is the fact that many of us saw that we were dealing with an epidemic of police brutality, and one that was rising in many, many communities across the country. We also saw that there were people who were resisting it in their communities, but we felt it was important that the resistance movement be taken to a higher level, that it be more massive, and that it begin to be developed on a nationwide level, because our assessment was that the police were being unleashed and given a green light on a level higher than community by community, that there was a situation being created throughout the U.S. and beyond where this was more and more the terms of things, that the green light was being given to brutal and murdering cops, and that the only way that that could be stopped was a mass movement coming up from the grassroots.
Well, it certainly seems that all you have to do is turn on the television news, and that's just the stuff that gets reported in the mainstream press, and almost every day we're seeing where police in one part of the country or another are brutalizing people. I mean, I'm thinking in particular about this latest case with Abner Louima, but many people who don't realize should realize that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Abner Louimas every year.
Yeah, see, that's a very important point for people to get, because when the Abner Louima case broke, they couldn't say it didn't happen. It was out there, it was too horrible, and it was clear that he had been injured while he was in police custody. So their fallback point on that was, this was horrible, but it's an isolated incident, and we're moving to clean it up. We've charged four cops with this crime. See, and on two levels, that's like trying to cover up the problem and keep people from getting a sense of what it is. One level that it comes down to a cover-up is that what was done to Abner Louima was horrible, it was perverse, but it was nothing but a concentration of the way the police treat people in many, many communities throughout the United States. Just starting with the NYPD, the October 22nd Coalition, as part of its Stolen Lives Project, which is a grassroots project of the October 22nd Coalition, the National Lawyers Guild, and the Anthony Baez Foundation, has documented over the last 3 years 73 cases of people being killed by the police in, at best, suspicious circumstances. That's 73 over 3 years. And this is a grassroots effort, because the authorities have not, they do not release figures of deaths in custody. So we can't go and look at the government's database and get the whole list, but we've documented our own 73 cases. And this comes down to situations like a 16-year-old Chinese man who was reported to be playing with an air gun. The cops came to the situation and beat him up, threw him into a door head first, and then shot him at close range in the back of the head. The officers who were involved cited the report of the gun and their fear that for their lives, so that it was supposed to be self-defense, in spite of the fact that numerous witnesses talked about the beating that they gave him before he was shot. You know, you could talk about Anthony Baez, who was beaten and choked to death by police in the Bronx after his football hit a police car. You know, you could talk about a woman named Lori Leitner, who was shot in the back while she was sitting in a car. The police said that she was charging them, and they thought she was armed, and they had to shoot her. but the medical examiner's information indicated that she was sitting in the car when she was shot. In all of these cases, the police were exonerated, and there were many, many more that we could go into. We also have to deal with this as a nationwide problem, you know. But the other thing that we need to do is we need to look at the actual way the Abner Louima situation went down, because it says a lot for this thing of isolated incidents and a few bad cops is an attempt to cover up what the real situation is. You know, because they have charged four cops in the Abner Louima case, but what they haven't dealt with is that the cops who beat and raped Abner Louima called into the precinct before they got there, while they were bringing him there, to get their fellow cops to assemble the plunger, the gloves, and everything they needed to do this. When they got to the station, they stripped Mr. Louima naked in the middle of the station, where a whole bunch of cops could see that that's what they were doing. Then they took him in the bathroom, raped him with the plunger, and then Volpe, the officer whose charge is being the main actor in this, comes out of the bathroom waving the plunger, covered with blood and feces. And then when the story breaks, as opposed to the so-called good cops coming forward to condemn this horrible act of brutality, his fellow officers got rid of all the evidence, including they cleaned out his locker, because apparently Mr. Volpe used to take trophies off of people that he arrested. He was in an immigrant area where there are a lot of Jamaicans and Haitians, and many of the Jamaicans had dreads, and he would always cut a dread off of any Jamaican that he arrested who had dreads. He had a locker full of this, but his fellow officers cleaned it out to get rid of this stuff. Then you got to go beyond the police department, because when Mr. Louima was beaten and raped and taken to the hospital bleeding, over 40 medical people saw him, could tell that his injuries could not have been self-inflicted like the police were saying. None of them spoke out until a courageous Haitian-American nurse decided that she wasn't going to let this go down. And now she's being harassed and threatened on the job. You can look at something like the Mark Furman tapes, where Mr. Furman talks about the kind of brutality that he deals out in East L.A., the kind of stuff that he and other cops have done in South Central L.A., and then he makes this remark about, now we know we can't do this in Torrance the same way. And what he's actually saying, Torrance is a more well-to-do white suburban area in Los Angeles, and he's basically saying, well, when we're in black and Latino areas, we know we can go wild, but we have to watch it when we go into some other areas. But the thing that people need to get is that even if it is more concentrated in those areas, and we need to acknowledge that, that if you're going to stand by and give a free hand to the authorities to give the cops a green light anywhere, that that problem isn't going to be limited to there. You know, that you set up a situation where that problem can and will spread, and you can even look at very recent development in the San Francisco area where a Chinese man who lived in the suburbs was fairly well off. The cops get called to his area, his neighborhood, to deal with a domestic dispute that he was supposed to be involved in, and they see him on the lawn with a stick and shoot him. You know, just gun him down and say, well, this was a Chinese man who had a stick. He was obviously into martial arts, so we had to take him out. You know, and this happened in a fairly well-to-do area. This was not, you know, your inner-city ghetto or barrio. So this problem isn't one that is limited to any one part of the society, and it's one that people need to take a stand on. People need to take a stand on. If it's coming down on them, they need to stand up and deal with it. If it's not coming down on them, they need to unite with the people who are being hit with this. One, because it's wrong and things like this should not happen. And two, because, like I said, you give the green light anywhere and it could end up flashing on you.
We're talking with Carl Dix, national spokesperson of the Revolutionary Communist Party.
It does come down to what are we going to do to stop it? And there is resistance that is growing in many different parts of the country. We both have seen some outrageous incidences. There was a situation in Baltimore recently where cops were videotaped confronting a man with a knife, telling him to put it down, and he's bending to put the knife down, and then the cop shoots, you know, and killed him. And within a month after this videotaped killing, the authorities had exonerated the cop, and their exoneration was very telling. They said, all right, you're looking at this on videotape, but we decided that this was a lawful action by the police based upon what you can't see. You know, they said you can't see the man's feet, so maybe he was really getting ready to charge the police. You could see almost all of his body, and his body does not move towards the police. The police are like 6 feet away. They shoot him point blank, but it's exonerated. That's what we're dealing with, and when you're dealing with this kind of situation in communities all across the country, it isn't enough to just deal with them in each community. It's very good that there is resistance and has been resistance in, you know, St. Petersburg, Florida, where there was a rebellion, in Eugene, Oregon, where there was a large mass mobilization around a police murder. The developments here in New York City have been very, very good in terms of thousands of people taking to the streets in protest to what was done to Abner Louima. But we have to take that farther. We have to link in that resistance, build it together on a nationwide level, and we also have to get it on a footing where the story that the authorities tell us about these are just isolated incidents and we're moving to clean them up is something that people aren't going to buy anymore, that people are too aware of what's going on, too aware of how it's coming down to let those kinds of stories go by, you know. And that's what we're trying to do through this October 22nd day of protest to stop police brutality, repression, and the criminalization of a generation in cities across the U.S., into Canada, and we're even hearing from other parts of the world. There are going to be people taking to the streets on this day. People are going to be, many, many people are going to wear black in solidarity with the protest and in memory of the victims of the cops. Cultural events are going to be held, poetry readings, musicians are going to be playing that day, you know, all of it in protest of police brutality. The weekend leading into it, we've issued a call for ministers, rabbis, imams, whatever your particular religious approach is, we feel that there should be religious observance directed at the problem of police brutality and the need for it to stop. What we're basically saying is there needs to be a massive outpouring on that day that says we are aware of this horrible problem that's coming down in society. We think that it is intolerable, and we are determined to stop it. We have to do this and do this in such a way that the authorities are put on notice that we ain't going to let them get away with continuing to give the green light time after time, continuing to exonerate cops who beat people, who murder people, abuse people in other ways. We just ain't going to let it go down anymore. We're determined to stop it, and we're a massive and mass movement that, coming from the grassroots, linking together people in many different parts of society, and issuing a message that this has got to stop.
We've been talking with Carl Dix, national spokesperson for the Revolutionary Communist Party, about the October 22nd International Day of Protest against police brutality. Mr. Dix, we're out of time. Hopefully we can have you on the program again. And could you please give out the number?
People who want to get more information and get involved can call us at 1-888-NO-BRUTALITY.
My name is Mike Thornton. This is For Logic Reverse.